Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. Meatloaf Monday. Everybody's hungry now. But hey, listen, we're going to keep going here. I'm cooking up a batch of what we like to call home fries. Oh yeah, cook them up. Sizzling in the pan. So we're cooking up home fries, which means things that are happening around about where we are, right here in the region, our listening areas. And listen, there's somebody who's been on the show multiple times. In fact, he's even guest hosted the show for me on several occasions. Ernie Yarbrough is a state representative representing District 7 right here in the Alabama House of Representatives. He's a solid constitutionalist. He's a well-known conservative, hails out of the Lawrence County region. And listen, I'm going to bring him on right now because he's got some good stuff going on in the Alabama legislature. State Rep Ernie Yarbrough, how are you doing?
Brother, I am doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day. Got the windows open in my new house we just moved into up in my office. The blue sky, the birds are singing, and the legislature is out this week, so Alabama is a little bit safer.
I feel like we ought to be singing Zippity-Doo-Dah after that introduction. That's pretty good.
All I need is a bluebird on my shoulder.
Hey, man, listen, y'all are on a cycle break this week. I agree. The state is always safer when the legislature is not in session, and I can say that because I've seen it firsthand. But you've got some good bills, and I, there are some good things come out of Montgomery, and some of the stuff you've been carrying really is. And I want to dig into a few of these. People might want to know about having a Second Amendment holiday. So what is HB 277, House Bill 277 you've got?
Yes, sir. So what led to me filing, I'll just back up for a second, three pro-gun bills is that, you know, when you get like 13 pieces of gun legislation and it's all like, you know, concern, not good, double not good, concern. It's like, wait a minute, what's in Alabama? We need gun legislation that isn't bad or borderline. Like, we need gun legislation that's like, hoorah, you know, let's go, this is Alabama, right? And so that was kind of the context of, so the first thing, the first bill we got that you mentioned, 2A holiday, I actually saw that Governor DeSantis had tied that into either a bill or a budget line item request, something of that nature. And so the concept there is called 2A holiday. So the name came to mind. I didn't want to copy Governor DeSantis' name, and so I Doc Holliday Tombstone kind of came to mind. So, and so I'm your holiday or whatever. So no, 2A holiday. The concept there is that from Memorial Day to July 4th, we would have a state sales tax holiday on guns, ammo, and hunting supplies.
Wow.
And so that's the concept behind it. That's obviously, hey, this is part of who we are. It's a big part of who we are. You know, not just for hunting, as great as hunting is, but it helps keep us free. So we wanted to put that out there to be like, hey, we're going to celebrate, we're going to reward, drive, incentivize this kind of behavior for our generation and obviously to pass it down to our kids.
That's huge, man. And you know, it's such a contrast to places, more liberal policies like in, I think it's Seattle, where a few years ago they instituted a local tax on bullets, trying to basically tax people out of their Second Amendment rights. It's 5 cents per bullet. It's just nuts. So you're proposing then that people could buy guns, ammo, and even accessories maybe for a sales tax holiday.
There's a whole list of hunting supplies. Yeah, and then the state sales tax holiday, Memorial Day to July 4th, and then local, they can opt in if they want to. They don't have to. You know, once you get into some of the local taxes, obviously that can be a little bit more finicky with what all the local needs are and how they depend on some of that stuff. But at least the state sales tax, I mean, our budgets have doubled in the last, seven, eight, nine, 10 years, whatever it is. So the bigger we ought to be able to make some room for incentivizing some freedom-loving Alabamians to go get some guns, ammo, hunt supplies, and carry on the love of hunting and self-defense.
Yeah, I'm digging that. I mean, like, let's say, for instance, you buy a $700 shotgun, and which, you know, it's a good shotgun. But if you buy a $700 shotgun, you're looking at like $35 off that shotgun if you buy it during a sales tax holiday, just on the sales tax for the state alone.
Right. And so, if you're going to go ahead and buy something for Christmas, you know, then why not go ahead and get, you know, get load up on it now? And as you can imagine, when I reached out to—
Did you say load up on it? Was that a pun?
It was. those years are working great. Go ahead and put it in your mag shopping cart. No, and so, you know, I obviously ran this by several, you know, local small business, you know, gun dealerships. Yeah, you know, and as you know, shocker, they loved it. So and not just because obviously they want to sell more and make more money, but also because these people that do this, and you know, a lot of times it's tied into, you know, athletic gear. They sell stuff at local high schools. You know, they believe in that freedom and want to promote it.
All right, I'm digging it. Where is it right now? Is it still in committee?
Yes, it's still in committee. I think they're waiting to see. You know, there's all this discussion about various tax bills that are going to drop and what to do with the state overtime tax and other tax considerations for investment and business property and different things. And so I think we're kind of waiting to see where, in terms of getting an overall fiscal idea of the ramifications of it, and looking at surrounding states to see what the budget numbers were when they did something similar to this. We're kind of waiting to see where we're waiting on. I think this month we'll get a clear picture. I think this month it's perceived that this month all of the tax cut legislation will land.
Yeah.
And then they'll figure out from there what path they want to go forward and try to rope in hopefully as many pieces as we can.
All right. Well, let me dig into, before we run out of time, let me get a couple more, because you got at least three bills right now that deal with the Second Amendment. One of them is HB 408. That's the burden of proof bill. So how does this one work for you? Me being a lawyer, I immediately key in on the legal aspect of burden of proof. What do you got there?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm calling the HB 408 the Stand Your Ground Innocence Act. Very simply, the concept here is kind of prevents a Kyle Rittenhouse type of situation. So if you exercise the lawful authority and lethal force to defend yourself, your family, you know, whatever the scenario is, then what HB 408 does is it shifts the burden of proof away from you to the state. So you really are presumed innocent. And so the concept here is that what 408 does is it sets up like a pre-trial showing or hearing, and there has to be a clear and convincing evidence that the defendant's use was unreasonable for it to even go forward. And if it's not clear and convincing, the judge dismisses it, and it never even goes to trial.
Wow.
So that way, the idea there is that what happens here is that you're not able, people can't use trumped-up charges as a way to financially destroy somebody.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and we're going to get into that moment with red flags, but I assume this bill 408 about shifting the burden of proof is in House Judiciary. Is that where it is?
That's correct. 408 and 409 are both in House Judiciary. And so, which we have another bill, the Lake and Riley Act, which we filed actually that bill before even Senator Britt had that last year. I think we had that, we saw a bill in Georgia, and that one's passed out of Homeland Security and is in Judy now. But yes, 408 and 409 will also be in Judy, and we'll see if we can get some traction this month on those.
Well, listen, man, you're coming in from all angles on the Second Amendment here, and I love this, but I think one of the most important ones you've got is, and to me, one of the sneakiest ways that liberals can try to get at your Second Amendment rights is your House Bill 409 on red flag laws. I've spoken about those multiple times. Red flag laws give me red flags in themselves. What's your bill do?
Yeah, so what it basically does in a nutshell is it bans red flag laws. So for those that don't know, red flag laws, you know, if something's a red flag, like, well, wait a minute, what's that? You know, something's concerning there, right? Well, basically what a red flag law is they're also known as extreme risk protection orders. So they're gun laws that give judges the authority to command the temporary seizure of somebody's arms, right, if they're deemed a threat to themselves or others. Problem is that we already have laws. Banning red flag laws has already been passed by multiple states, the most recent of which I believe is Wyoming, because the problem is that we already have a process whereby someone, you know, if they're declared unfit mentally, whatever, they go before a judge. You know, there's well understood and defined processes for that. And part of the issue is that, obviously, and rightly so, people don't trust government. And so, you know, we these kinds of laws come up where they create extra ways to, you know, and ideas to seize people's guns, which obviously can be a very dangerous path to go down, I would argue in large part because we don't follow what the Bible says as we should. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 says that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Hmm. So if we're, you know, the best prevention against gun violence and evilness and crimes is to bring swift and severe punishment. You know, and when we don't do that, are we seeing the news where so-and-so get executed after 35 years on death row or something? You know, people commit these crimes because, number one, is problems with gun-free zones. And so they go, these criminals go to gun-free zones because they know there's nobody armed there. But there's also because we don't punish crime. And so the solution to ending crime is not more gun laws, more stuff that is only going to affect people who already buy guns legally anyway. The best way to defend or to stop crime is to promote and celebrate the lawful ownership of self-defense and to bring swift and severe punishment to people who break those laws. Because until you do that, you know, like G.K. Chesterton said, if man will not live by the Ten Commandments, if man will not have the ten, he must have the 10,000.
Wow. Wow. G.K. Chesterton always nails it. Like, within about one sentence, he would have been a Twitter master with, you know, so few words. He could have just nailed it.
Elon would be the one person that he, that would be his, Elon's number one follow would be GK. But I just feel like 277, 408, 409, we need gun bills that are obvious and open celebrations of the Second Amendment so that people feel passionate and empowered to get behind this legislation and to get behind the concept of responsible, God-fearing, freedom-loving, patriotic-toting Second Amendment citizenship. Because let's just face it, we all know why, as the famous Japanese commander said, why they didn't invade America, because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. And the way that you stop the explosion of crime is not through a nanny state. It's not through those who are, as C.S. Lewis said, I'm not afraid of tyrants. I'd be more afraid of infinite busybodies who actually believe in the good cause of bringing salvation through legislation, right? What we need is the simple and plain enforcement of righteous justice and the celebration of what is good in the owning of the means and training of self-defense, and the problem goes away.
Man, I love having you on the show. I feel like about half a dozen times when you're talking, I think, I wish I had said that. And I am now going to say no salvation through legislation on a regular basis, but I have to give you the credit for it.
That's right. Hey, that's all right. You know what? If you take it from one person, they say it's plagiarism. You take it from many, it's just research. I'm sure I didn't come up with that serene. So you can just say after much research, you come to the conclusion and then just follow with the statement.
Fair enough. All right, man. Go fight the good cause. Enjoy your next few days off from the legislative wranglings, and then head down to the House floor and get some business done, buddy.
Yes, sir. You can count on it. Thank you, brother.
All right. See you, man. That's State Representative Ernie Yarbrough from District 7 up in Northwest Alabama near the Shoals area. He just has a way with words. He has a great way with words. No salvation through legislation. That's brand new in my lexicon, just going to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll wrap up Home Fries right after this. Y'all stay tuned.